10,000 people and Common People by Pulp on the theme for Feel Good Friday tomorrow to start the hour. It's 17 minutes past 8. I'm afraid we have no Wimbledon report this morning. They didn't send it. Maybe they couldn't talk properly after England's success in Euro 2020 last night. Men's quarterfinals day yesterday. I'll tell you about that in the sports news. And it's ladies' semi-finals day today. Historians are searching for relatives of the Italian Renaissance artist Leonardo da Vinci as a study of his genealogy aims to better understand his genius. Researchers behind the project, which has spanned several decades, say they've so far found 14 living relatives aged 1 to 85. All of them live in Tuscany, where the painter, scientist, engineer and architect was born in 1452. The findings form part of a decades-long project, and the study's findings, published in the Human Evolution Journal, document the male line over the past 690 years through 21 generations. Can any of them paint, though? Though Leonardo never married and had no children, he had at least 22 half-brothers, according to researchers. Born in the Tuscan town of Vinci, he was the illegitimate son of a local notary. By 2016, researchers had already identified 35 of Leonardo's living relatives, but they were mostly indirect in the female line, as in the best-known case of the director Franco Zeffirelli. So they were not people who could give us useful information on Leonardo's DNA, and in particular on the Y chromosome, which is transmitted to male descendants and remains almost unchanged for 25 generations. Now, the 14 living descendants identified in the study through painstaking research over the decades were from the male line. They're aged between 1 and 85. They don't live right in Vinci, but in neighbouring towns, and they have ordinary jobs such as a clerk, surveyor and an artisan. The relatives' DNA samples will be analysed in the coming months by the International Leonardo da Vinci DNA Project, led by the Jesse Alsenboff Rockefeller University in New York and supported by the Richard Lounsbury Foundation. Any more geniuses out there? Or genii, should I say? Here's Casey J. Pearson. On to the papers and the Independent says Boris Johnson is facing calls to abandon plans to remove almost all remaining COVID restrictions as a coalition of over 100 scientists and doctors warn it's a dangerous and unethical experiment after Sajid Javid, the health secretary, admitted daily cases could exceed 100,000 in the summer as measures are lifted on the 19th of July. The experts stressed there are grave risks involved in what they described as an illogical policy. The letter published today in the medical journal The Lancet claims ministers' strategy amid surging cases of the Delta variant provides fertile ground for the emergence of vaccine-resistant variants. As I was mentioning, Christine Lagarde features on the front page of the Irish Independent. Now, the paper says fears of a flood of post-pandemic consumer price rises have been raised after a string of hikes were announced. Electricity, gas, broadband, health insurance, petrol and diesel costs are all rising, says the paper, as the ECB resets its policy. And the Copenhagen Post says the Denmark coach says he cannot understand how a decision penalty was awarded against his team in the 2-1 defeat to England in the European Championship semi-finals last night. Yeah, hard luck, Denmark. It was a dodgy decision, but that's the football, that's the football.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
What do you mean
Sweet
you're not
Caroline,
here tomorrow?
Football's coming home. Lots of excitement in the UK.
There's no need to text me at midnight saying football's coming home, honestly, you know. What do you mean you're not here tomorrow?
I think by the time we get through to Sunday's final, I can imagine that we'll be rather bored of hearing that football's coming home, Sweet Caroline, it has to be said. But the nation is in joyous mood at the moment.
It's going to be number one, isn't it, by the end of the week, football's coming home. What do you mean you're not here tomorrow? Are you preparing for Sunday? You got tickets, have you?
If only that was the case, if only that was the case.
Come on, you know somebody could get you tickets for that game, surely, you know.
They'll be going at a pretty price, I can tell you that. I think I was reading yesterday that face value tickets of £500 were going for £5,000. So a final, the first one since 1966, one would suggest a pretty hefty premium.
Okay, markets, pretty good day on Wall Street yesterday. Fresh record high for both the Nasdaq and the S&P 500s.
Yeah, it's modest gains, but positive gains on Wall Street yesterday. Bonds gains, this is the latest minutes from the Federal Reserve, suggest still uncertainty around the outlook for growth and inflation, which could lead to a transparent, controlled normalisation of policy, which would actually be good news for markets, it has to be said. So investors were digesting that. S&P 500 was up 0.34%, NASDAQ registered minor gains, but you say still close to all-time highs. 10-year yields fell below 1.3% for the first time since February. So a significant movement taking place in terms of what's been happening in bond markets. Dollar held steady, oil eased back, and gold advanced for a sixth straight session.
Minutes from the Federal Reserve reassured the market somewhat yesterday.
Yeah, if you look at the June minutes, they indicated they were not ready to communicate a timeline for scaling back asset purchases due to the high uncertainty on the economic outlook. The committee's standard of substantial further progress was generally seen as not having yet been met, although various participants mentioned that they expected the conditions for beginning to reduce the pace of asset purchases to be somewhat earlier than they anticipated at previous meetings. Remember this June meeting, it was seen as a significant step towards the normalisation of policy, regarded as hawkish pivot by the US Central Bank, as officials indicate inflation risks have risen to the upside as the economy reopens. Although interest rate hikes are still some way off. If you look at the dot plot, which is the median projection, it's penciled in two interest rate hikes, but they don't happen until well into 2023. So the focus, of course, in the short term will be around tapering. I think we'll hear a lot more noise about that at the Jackson Hole Symposium. We expect them to formally announce that they will start to reduce those asset purchases at that September meeting, and then for that process to start in November, which will include a $10 billion reduction per meeting of treasuries and a $5 billion reduction of the purchases of mortgage-backed securities.
I was thinking Jackson Hole sounds like a golf course.
It's out in Wyoming, isn't it, Jackson Hole? It's like a ranch retreat that they go on, which all looks rather pleasant, I have to say, although the weather's not always the best there at that time of year. I think it's a big ski resort, actually, in the winter as well.
And good to hear you speaking the lingo there, the dot plot. I mean, is that what you and your buddies used to talk about when you sort of got into the flesh pots of Canary Wharf after a day's work? You know, have you seen the dot plot, you know?
We'll get back to those days soon enough. I know you're harking for me to get back into the commute, and that will be certainly on the agenda as we return to our beautiful building in Canary Wharf.
And a large picture of Christine Lagarde on the front page of the Irish Independent this morning as the ECB resets its policy, and the Irish Independent is alarmed about the prospect of inflation.
Yeah, the European Central Bank has been reviewing its strategy framework for the first time in 20 years. As part of the process, policymakers have apparently agreed, and we'll hear more from Christine Lagarde later today, have agreed to raise their inflation goal to 2%, perhaps more importantly, allow for periods of overshoot. This is compared to the previous target of close to, but just below 2%. Doesn't sound dramatic, but it should give officials greater flexibility and allow them to maintain ultra-accommodative policy for longer as a bloc emerges from the pandemic recession. The policy reshape also resets the central bank's policy priorities to focus on the fight against climate change, the interaction between fiscal and monetary policies. They'll be looking at employment trends as well as globalisation. So a significant rethink in terms of the way in which the European Central Bank operates and the areas they want to focus on.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 1.38 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.18. Going to get €1.16.5 for your British pound this morning.
Quite a good line this morning, wasn't it?
It was okay. It was okay. It bounces back a little bit. Okay, I want you to upgrade to the ISDN over internet.
But talk to the headmaster about that.
We'll have to put his hand in his pocket for that one.
In the meantime, you'll have to put your hand in your pocket to amend your normal ISDN, and hopefully you'll have that done by Monday after your long weekend.
Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. Hank Watson, Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
I'm Rob Harrison with the top stories across the Riviera. Motorists have endured another difficult afternoon on the A8 motorway as a result of a serious accident involving a truck and five cars on the eastbound carriageway near Mondelieu. One person died and two more were critically injured in the pile-up, which also caused a huge blade in vegetation at the side of the road, forcing authorities to close the motorway and divert traffic off the road at junctions 40 and 41. Earlier, another vehicle caught fire further up the road near Villeneuve-Loubet, complicating the situation and showing once again the region's road infrastructure is not capable of handling the volume of traffic in the event of a serious accident. A tailback stretching for more than 15 kilometres formed as a result of the crash. The road wasn't reopened for several hours. 40 firefighters attended the scene and Canadair aircraft had to be brought in to put out the fire. The 74th Cannes Film Festival is continuing at the Palais de Festival with two fresh screenings today in the Palme d'Or competition. Lingui, or The Sacred Bonds, by Mohamed Salah Haroun, is being screened at lunchtime and tells the story of a pregnant 15-year-old girl in Chad who finds herself in an impossible situation in a strict Muslim country. This evening, the new film from Joachim Trier is being shown. The Worst Person in the World is the story of Julie, the 30-year-old woman torn between settling down with her partner or falling for the charms of a younger man. The film is in Norwegian and concludes the director's Oslo trilogy, which started with Reprise and continued with Oslo. The festival is also eagerly awaiting the first screening of the new Sean Penn film Flag Day, which deals with the coming of age of a young woman while navigating a tense relationship with her conman father, and stars Catherine Winnick, Josh Brolin and Sean Penn. The film will be screened for the first time on Saturday. There's tight security in and around Cannes as the festival gets into full swing. As the event is taking place in July and not in its normal slot in the month of May, the authorities not only have to look after delegates but also visitors on holiday. Patrols of mounted police are on duty and there are also extra officers keeping watch from the ground, sea and in the air. The town's expected to be extremely busy on the French National Bastille Day holiday on July the 14th. Some 300 extra police and gendarmes have been sent to the Côte d'Azur to help look after the summer crowds. With holiday season now in full swing, extra patrols will be on duty in major towns and cities until the end of the summer. Authorities are calling on the public to be extra vigilant as the summer months bring not only more tourists but also more thieves. Pickpockets regularly operate on the public transport network and there are gangs of opportunistic thieves using motor scooters looking for easy pickings from unsuspecting motorists and pedestrians. Make sure you keep your valuables safe, don't carry large amounts of cash, and make sure that car doors are locked from the inside when driving. It's also a bad idea to wear an expensive watch or jewellery when walking in busy town centres. The government's once again called for a mass vaccination programme in a bid to stave off a fourth wave of the coronavirus pandemic as the Delta variant continues to spread fast. Speaking on Wednesday, government spokesman Gabriel Attal said that 11 regions of France are seeing infection rates rise, with particular concern in the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur and the Île-de-France. Mr Attal said that vaccination is the key to getting out of the coronavirus tunnel and called on the public not to waste but to get the jab now. There have been 2,170 new cases of the Delta variant picked up in the past 24 hours, and ICU hospital bed occupancy is running at 20%. Mr Attal said the government would be holding another Defence Council meeting on Monday, where plans to make vaccination mandatory for some professions would be discussed, as well as the possibility of extending a requirement for a health pass to be produced before people are allowed into bars, restaurants and some shops. And the new Coast Road cycle path at Villeneuve-Loubet has been officially opened by the President of the Alpes-Maritimes General Council, Charles-Henri Ginesy, and the Mayor, Lina Luca. The new path, which costs €6.7 million, provides better protection for cyclists from road traffic, and construction first started in 2013. Motorists have been urged to drive responsibly in the zone and to respect the rights of cyclists.
The Euro 2020, brought to you by West Nautical, the experts in superyacht charter sales and management. Make your yachting experience the best it can be by contacting our multi-language experts today on 3348902 7211. or email info@westnautical.com.
England are through to the final after beating Denmark 2-1 in extra time in last night's semi-final at Wembley. England went behind to a stunning Damsgaard free kick on 30 minutes, but an own goal by the Danish captain levelled it up on 39 minutes, and the match ended 1-1, forcing extra time. Denmark can feel aggrieved at the penalty decision awarded to England in the first period of extra time, but a VAR check confirmed the spot kick, and although Kasper Schmeichel saved Harry Kane's shots, the England captain put it in on the rebounds to make it 2-1 and puts England into their first major tournament final since the World Cup in 1966. England will play Italy in the final at Wembley on Sunday night. Here's more from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Andy Barwell at the BBC Sports Centre. England have made it through to the final of the European Football Championship, where they will face Italy for the title. England were 2-1 extra time winners over Denmark in the second semi-final played at London's Wembley Stadium. The decisive goal came when England skipper, the Tottenham Hotspur striker Harry Kane, had his penalty saved by Leicester City's Kasper Schmeichel in the Denmark goal, but Kane following up found the back of the net. Correspondent John Murray was at the game.
And all of the famous years have heard, it's this England team under Gareth Southgate that has finally made it to a first final since 1966. And Wembley, looking around the place, arms in the air, football's coming home, they're singing, inevitably, flags being twirled, and players embracing one another down on the pitch. What an effort by Denmark. You have to feel for them. I must say, the penalty award that was absolutely crucial that led to Harry Kane's winning goal. The story for Denmark comes to an end. But for England, on Sunday, the 11th of July, 2021, it's going to be England, Italy.
And the result got this reaction from the former England, Spurs and Newcastle United player Chris Waddle.
Get in there. They're really pleased for them. You've got to say Denmark had a good first half, and then after that it was all England. Didn't show enough quality in the final third, but they did enough to get over the line. They've won the game. They deserve to win the game on a dubious pen, I've got to say. So, hey, who cares? They're in the final to play Italy on Sunday. Well done, England.
And for more football news on the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Tennis, Roger Federer says he'll make an announcement on his future soon as he lost in the quarterfinals of Wimbledon. The 39-year-old, who turns 40 next month, looked out of sorts as he was beaten in straight sets by Hubert Hurkacz. Novak Djokovic sailed through to the semi-finals after beating Martin Fuskovic in straight sets. He'll now play Denis Shapovalov, who beat Karen Shaknov in a five-set thriller. Hurkacz will play Mario Berrettini in the last four. The Italian beats Felix Auger-Aliassime in four sets to reach his Wimbledon semi-final for the first time. Shapovalov. That's it. Shapovalov. Practice. A cycling Wout van Aert has won stage 11 of the Tour de France's race leader Tadej Pogačar showed some signs of vulnerability. Now, the Belgian dominated a double ascent of Mont Ventoux to finish 1 minute 14 seconds ahead of Kelly Elizonde. Pogačar retains the yellow jersey and is 5 minutes 18 seconds ahead of Rigoberto Urán. Today's 12th stage is 159.4 kilometres between Saint-Paul-Trois-Châteaux and Nîmes and will give the climbers a break after yesterday's exertions. Mark Cavendish could equal the all-time record for stage victories set by the Belgian legend Eddie Merckx. Cricket, a completely new-look England side will face Pakistan in the first one-day international in Cardiff later. Ben Stokes will captain the side, which could include up to 9 uncapped players, after the squad had to be completely rechosen owing to coronavirus infections. Play starts at 2 p.m. French time. And in rugby union, two British and Irish Lions players are isolating after one of the management team tested positive for coronavirus. Players are isolating at the team hotel, and management say that all members of the touring party have since been tested. Meanwhile, the match between South Africa and Georgia on Friday has had to be cancelled because of coronavirus cases in both squads. The development is unwelcome for both the Springboks and the Lions as they prepare for the test series, which starts on the 24th of July. The Lions thrashed Cell C Sharks 54-7 in their latest tour match in Johannesburg last night.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
Four coast layers up to 20 miles offshore the Admiralty in the Var. The general situation is a depression 1,012 millibars over the Po Plain and a ridge of high pressure 1,025 millibars over the Pyrenees. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3, becoming southwesterly force 4 to 6. The sea is slight, becoming moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat 1,015 millibars at the outlook for Friday. Clear skies, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are westerly, force 4 to 6. The sea is moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,015 millibars. And the outlook for Friday, clear skies, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
The weather forecast brought to you by Polygon Riviera in Gagnes-sur-Mer, open-air shopping and leisure centre.
Clear skies and coastal areas, some thunder in the mountains later, moderate westerly winds across the Var, highs of 27 to 32 degrees, overnight lows 21 or 22 degrees with clear skies. Friday and the start of the weekend, clear skies with highs of 26 to 29 degrees.
The weather forecast brought to you by Polygon Riviera in Gagnes-sur-Mer, open-air shopping and leisure centre. Shops, restaurants, cinema, casino, gym. There is something for everyone. Only 20 minutes from Monaco and Cannes. Visit polygon-riviera.fr.
Finally, England's Euro 2020 progress could be behind infections rising faster among men than women in the past 2 weeks, according to data from Imperial College. The study, which tested more than 47,000 volunteers across England between the 24th of June and the 5th of July, confirms a substantial third wave of infections, and the men were 30% more likely than the women to test positive for COVID. The infections had not translated into a large number of people in hospital or dying, as the study found, and vaccinated men and women were much less likely than others to catch the virus. It could be that watching football is resulting in men having more social activity than usual, said the report's author, Professor Stephen Riley. And the reports also found that prevalence of the virus has risen from 0.15% in early June to 0.59% in early July in the UK. Big rises in infections across all age groups under 75 and especially among younger people. 1.33% of the 13 to 17 and 1.4% of the 18 to 24-year-old population were infected. And London had seen the largest increase in infections. The study results show a similar pattern to the Office for National Statistics survey published last week, which also uses tests of people in the community. We're entering a critical period with a number of important competing processes, the reports concluded.